Just the other day, I read something startling in an Indian newspaper. The CEO of Tech Mahindra, a large Indian multinational IT company, said that the top 10 IT companies here only take 6% of the engineering graduates. What happens to the other 94%, he wondered. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. I had a flashback to a conversation I'd had at a busy bookstore in Kolkata with Dr. Homi K. Bhabha, the Anne F. Rothenberg Professor of the Humanities and a director of the Mahindra Humanities Center at Harvard. He had articulated the same worry, but from a different angle, the decline of the humanities.
It is a crisis of large Indian corporations saying that we cannot hire the excellent software engineers or the excellent programmers, because although they're very good at what they do, they lack the broader vision that a good humanities, liberal arts, or liberal arts education can give, so that they can do the job that they have to do, but they cannot share the vision of our product and make it attractive, viable, and urgent for people. They just cannot, they do not have those skills of presentation, interpretation, and description.
I'd pressed him, saying, well, even today it seems dicey to take up humanities if you have the chance to study computer engineering. I should know. I wanted to study humanities, but meekly went in for computer science. Bhabha said the onus should not be on individuals like me.
If a society makes a decision, then it invests in it, then it builds up universities and colleges which provide this knowledge, then it creates confidence amongst its people. But this is not a burden that should fall on an individual. It is a burden that should be taken up by society as a whole and the country.
But in India, it sometimes feels that the pressure to get ahead is terribly strong. India is in a headlong rush to be modern, to be seen as cosmopolitan. Yet I wonder if India sometimes confuses brands for cosmopolitanism. Is Kolkata that much more cosmopolitan because a Starbucks or a Prada opened here?
This kind of market diversity can be seen as being a particular form of cosmopolitanism. But cosmopolitanism is not simply the experience of a range of languages or a range of cultures. Cosmopolitanism is at heart the use of this knowledge of cultural variety and diversity and difference in order to adduce from it political and ethical and aesthetic principles for of responsibility and obligation as a world citizen. That's the classic idea. It is to try from that to understand what it would be to be able to be at the same time part of your own country's productive transformation and to have that kind of citizenly commitment and obligation and responsibility to issues which go beyond national sovereignty and territoriality, but are extraordinarily important for it. Ecology, the problem of water, the problem of world health, the problem of world justice. No country can live off bread alone.
So what is cosmopolitanism in an Indian context?
This country was brought to its independence using several languages, located in several countries. Gandhi could quote as freely from Thoreau and Emerson in the great American thinkers, to the Bible, to Tolstoy. Cosmopolitanism at its best is an understanding that a range of cultural traditions can have an effective conversation amongst themselves. And even if their beliefs are different, they can, through those dialogues and conversations, negotiate a framework of human values that are as beneficial to each of those cultures and societies.
Yet while India is priding itself on making great strides as a modern cosmopolitan nation, there's story after story of violence against minorities, and especially women. Relentless trolling on Twitter with fake news has happened with a female journalist recently. Gang rapes. Bhabha thinks this is no accident, nor that surprising.
So my feeling is that, in a way, the violence against women may have something to do with the successful emancipation of women at the economic level, at the political level. But it also has another very sinister aspect to this, which is, I think, the fact that as women become freer, they act freer. They go out in the evenings. They don't feel they need a chaperone all the time. They want to claim their space in the public sphere. They want to be active members of civil society. And I think that there is a way in which their enactment of their freedom, their ability to occupy public spaces, makes them the victims of the kind of violence you're talking about. So, in a way, the more philosophical way or existential way of treating this is a problem of otherness. There may be an element of truth in that, but I think that there are very specific historical, practical, and tragic reasons why the freedom of women is causing the kind of violence against them. Simply because, you know, you can have freedom as a principle, you can have freedom as a precept, but until you act on that freedom, you are not free.
This is Sandeep Roy at the Oxford Bookstore in Kolkata for KALW.